Good morning. It's Friday the 23rd of December. I'm Claire Johnston and you're listening to The Courier Daily. Today I'll be joined by Live News team leader Brian Copeland as we look back at some of the biggest local stories of 2022, including this.
The antisocial behaviour will take educational services, it will take youth work, it will take other third sector organisations who are supporting and working with young people in the city. And it will also take parents, it will take families, it will take communities, and of course some of those other agencies and organisations that are involved in the city. So this really needs to be about how the city comes together to try and address some of those fundamental issues.
From a nation and a region recovering from the COVID pandemic to a cost of living crisis and the outbreak of youth disorder and crime across the city, not to mention the death of a monarch, it has been a busy year for news. Here to discuss some of the biggest local issues and events covered by The Courier is Live News team leader Brian Copeland. Brian, we heard at the start of the show a clip from Dundee City Council leader John Alexander, who was talking about the effort he felt it would take to turn around the youth crime situation in Dundee. And it's been a troubling year in that respect, hasn't it? With disorder on beaches in the summer, vandalism and assaults, and then the disturbing events that saw rioting on the streets at Halloween. Remind us of what happened and where we are in terms of the investigation into the incident.
Yeah, so the main event people will remember from this year were those Halloween riots in Kirkton. We remember seeing those images and videos, dozens of people involved in setting fires, throwing fireworks at cars and the police officers and damaging a school. One police officer, of course, suffered a minor injury in those events. There was a huge outpouring of shock and concern at those events, of course. The police response was criticised, and obviously there were fears about an apparent rise in this sort of behaviour. Now, as far as we know, police have so far made 3 arrests over the Kirkton events, 2 teenagers and a 28-year-old woman. They were released pending further inquiries back in November, and there have been no court appearances so far off the back of those events. You also referenced the Broughty Ferry Beach incident back in July, where we saw a mass brawl. This is involving more than 100 youngsters, with reports of fighting and people being hit by bottles. Apparently, they had all gathered there on a sort of hot and sunny day. And obviously, there was concern about a sort of rise in this kind of antisocial behaviour in Broughty Ferry and at similar locations across the city. Police did launch an investigation off the back of that event in Broughty Ferry, and we saw other similar instances of this kind of behaviour right across the city throughout the year.
And has there been any further discussion around the issue of tackling youth disorder in Dundee and the causes of it?
Well, certainly the instance in Kirkton sparked discussions between, you know, city leaders and different authorities. John Alexander himself admitted he had seen a rise in youth disorder in the city and was concerned about that. It's been hard, I think, to pinpoint an exact cause. Some people have put it down to, you know, kids maybe letting off steam off the back of the COVID lockdowns. Others have even blamed free bus passes, although there's no real hard evidence suggesting those are directly to blame. But there's clearly concern from residents and city leaders alike that things are getting worse. And we know there's been work going on in the likes of schools and through other organisations to try and engage with kids and their families.
Okay, well, we couldn't look back over the year and not discuss the biggest story on the patch in terms of just how many staff were involved in covering it. And that was the death of the Queen and the cortege carrying her coffin that passed through the region. You were involved in organising our coverage. What was it like during that most memorable of weeks?
It was really quite surreal. You had the world's biggest news event and it was happening right here on our patch, something that doesn't happen every day. Dundee in particular took centre stage, so we had to ensure that we were there to cover it all. Organised for reporters and photographers to be at different points along the route, we had to gather the information and tell people where and when they could go and see the coffin passing by. We were along the route to gather people's thoughts and reaction, lots of colourful photos and videos. There was just a real sense of a historic occasion that people wanted to be part of. You know, no matter their views on the monarchy, good or bad, they wanted to be there to see it. And, you know, that was proven in the fact that about 40,000 people turned out in Dundee alone to line the route to see the coffin passing through. So there was a huge interest from our audience, you know, even though this was an international story, there was a huge appetite from our local audience for that information and to see what was going on. And it's just something that journalists and photographers here won't forget anytime soon.
No, I know. It was just an incredible week, wasn't it? Finally, there was another event this year that saw Tayside at the centre of a global story, and that was the appointment and then, well, disappointment of the region's first period dignity officer, Jason Grant. The appointment by the period dignity working group of a male to the job made headlines around the world, with tennis legend Martina Navratilova leading the criticism. It was quite the spectacle, wasn't it, Brian? What questions remain over this debacle, and what, if any, lessons have been learned?
Yeah, well, there's still an air of mystery around the process that led to Mr. Grant's appointment. This was Mr. Grant's fourth appointment in a role by the same Dundee and Angus College recruiter in just 3 years. The college has also refused to reveal how many candidates it interviewed for the job. So there have been questions around how that process happened, who was involved, and whether it was a fair process, and how many women applied and were interviewed for the job too. What still remains to be answered is really what happens next. You know, as far as we understand it, the role itself has now been scrapped. We don't know whether Mr. Grant is still working for the college or whether he's moved on elsewhere. You know, this was seen as a vital appointment in helping people affected by issues like period poverty. So if this is such an important role, what will they do instead? And that's really the question people are waiting to be answered.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you to you and the team for keeping us up to date throughout the year on the local issues that matter, and have a very happy Christmas when it comes.
Thank you, you too.
It's been our pleasure to bring you the Courier Daily every weekday morning for the past 6 months.
It's brought our newsroom closer together as we've shared and discussed compelling stories from the Tayside and Fife regions.
We've taken to the streets to gauge your opinions on important topics, from men's mental health to women's street safety. And our Friday weekly news roundup has been a favourite with our listeners, providing a summary of the biggest local stories.
Thank you for coming on this journey with us. The daily format will stop as we move into 2023, but watch this space.
No doubt we'll be back with something else up our sleeves. And of course, we'll continue to bring you all the local news you need to know in print and on our website. Goodbye for now.
From the Courier Daily team.